Welcome, listeners, to Podcast ONA, where we ask...
Does your tobacco taste different lately?
I am your host, Alex, and joining me, as always, are Andy.
There's a lot of Hollywood shit going on this week, I tell you what.
Jet.
Curse you, Bezos!
And Duelist.
I didn't get Alex's reference, just so everyone knows.
I've been on an old Looney Tunes cartoon kick lately, and I've been rediscovering some of the older cartoons that I grew up with from the 30s and 40s.
Ah, and not at all relevant. Soon you might be able to do that a lot easier with a certain streaming library.
You know, yeah. I was wondering if that was going to come up or not, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment because, you know, it's related to other stuff, but... We'll get to that when we get to that. So, okay. How are we all feeling? Are we all rested after that 3.5 hour monstrosity from last time? Are we all feeling refreshed, good to go for a briefer, quicker show?
I feel like there's an elephant in the room we're going to have to talk about before we go on to new stuff.
I've actually been, like, really tired all day because of said news from yesterday.
Oh. Well,
Let's rip it off and talk about it, okay?
I suppose we'll have to deal with this one way or another, so let's just get this out of the way before getting into our regular bit of new stuff, which will include, in no short order, Hollywood shit, home video shit, and weird video game shit. But first, well, we've got one fear, and it came true. According to many sources, The Promised Neverland is, in fact, locked up for streaming in January on Amazon. God fucking damn it, Jeff Bezos.
I want to talk about this just because I've been sort of pondering this one for a little bit, because two things. One, I had heard there was some word from the grapevine that the... deal was supposedly expiring. Now, here's the thing. That could potentially still be true, but that won't happen until spring, and Promised Neverland was just the very, very unfortunate runoff. Or the other likely possibility is that the deal was just renewed and fuck it.
Or there is a third possibility. The deal wasn't renewed, but Amazon specifically went after Neverland because they're Amazon.
Like I said, I think the option that, like, the deal expires in the spring and Neverland was the unfortunate last one is a more likely one than the deal expired and they just decided, let's grab it anyway. So, granted, with Amazon, you never know. Here's my thinking. I think... The unfortunate situation aside, I think the show's still got a chance with the mainstream anime audience.
Okay, well, I mean, I am half and half. It will be talked about. Absolutely. I mean, it's based off a popular manga, so it will be talked about.
It's gotta be
it
talked about.
It will not be talked about on legal circles, which is my problem.
I think there's a 50% chance it will be, and a 50% chance it won't be. Because here's the thing. Even then, I did still see people who watched it on Amazon talking about Banana Fish.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, no one watches them on Amazon. I'm just not saying it's not going to be the majority.
It's not going to be as big doing it legally, though. At this point, look, whether people watch it legally or not, fucking Amazon, fuck you anyway.
And then again, there is my, like, fear, you know, my fear that Aniplex will now just decide to do nothing with it.
Here's my thinking. I think I saw what you're talking about earlier, where it's like, they were only talking about it because they thought they were going to get it. My other possibility, while not, it is still one, what if it's possible that they just decided, instead of trying to fight it, they just decide to play ball, and they're like, you know what, if this is going to be on Amazon, we can release it on home video and dub it.
I would think that, but here's my thing. I feel like they would have said something by now. Like, I mean, okay, granted, this could have been, like, a very, granted, this could have been a very last-minute thing, and they were still about.
This also is less an official news, news announcement, and more a website going live. It's one of those things where it's like, I understand the deal with the Recreators and Saikano worry you, and believe me, that does too, but I feel like just the fact that it was even mentioned gives it a better chance than both those two already.
I'm not saying there's no chance. I'm just saying the odds feel less likely now. And even then, in the long run, it's still gotta hurt in the West because it's locked on a service that almost no one uses. And then it's going to be licensed by a company that almost no one buys from.
It's a give and take, but honestly, as long as I'm still gonna watch it, who am I kidding?
Basically, at the end of the day, I'm still going to watch it. It's just, this is like,
it's frustrating. It's one of those things where it's like, it's going to be interesting because I feel like Promised Neverland is very much going to be an interesting test. Specifically because, how do I put it? Like, it's always been that feeling of, like, does the Amazon thing kill the conversation, or do people still just find ways to watch it and it becomes big anyways? If that is the case, it's going to be interesting. This will be the one to test it.
Okay, that was already kind of proven with Made in Abyss. Granted, Made in Abyss didn't have the benefit of eventually getting taken to another service, but even so.
This is true. Made in Abyss was kind of proof of that, too. So I think it still has a chance.
But of course, the other thing with Made in Abyss is that it also had a benefit of it was confirmed for a home video from the get-go.
This is true as well.
Okay, if I may interject here, and especially a couple things. Okay. One, regarding the discussion online for Banana Fish, there's a big reason why it's being talked about a lot. A lot of the people who I, you know, follow along with, we're in the big Yuri on Ice circle, and seeing how this is a show in that similar vein of style and execution, I mean, it makes sense that the same people who are talking about Yuri on Ice are talking about Banana Fish and really liking it. So it doesn't really matter whether or not it's through Amazon or whatever. It's still being talked about in a very positive way because, holy shit, this show is amazing. And the second thing, regarding the show, its status on being on Amazon. For all we know is that we're getting our info from a website and from a weekly Shonen Jump scan courtesy of Yonku that actually lists Amazon Prime Video on there. So that's where we're getting this from.
I think it was also like some hearsay of whether or not it was confirming it was worldwide or not. I think it did confirm it was worldwide.
I'm under the assumption that Amazon only does things worldwide.
Not true.
They do some stuff only in Japan. In fact, Crunchyroll has gotten a few things that were
Amazon exclusive. To clarify, I know that there are, you know, regional restrictions for their vast library of shows. But when it comes to exclusives, I'm under the belief that, you know, bigger shows that they would have exclusivity to would be available on a worldwide basis.
Okay, it was just a thing of, is this going to be an exclusive or not? Which was kind of the big question.
That got
an unfortunate answer.
I know that it sucks that this is going to be locked on Amazon, and normally I would not condone this, but there's a saying, pirate if you can't pay. If you are unable to pay for a quality content through a provider such as an Amazon or, you know, whatever else, if you don't have access to that, or if you flat out refuse to support, you know, such a company, pirate if you can't pay. Find alternative means. But if you're going to do that, use torrents. Don't use, you know, shady ass websites that will not be named.
Don't stream it, basically. Yeah. Like, at least go the route of, like, download if that's your choice. Regardless, we, like I said, Jen and I are very big fans of the manga of The Promised Neverland, and we're not even sure if the anime is actually going to be good. We don't. But we feel at the very least, if this anime introduces more people to the series in general, it's still doing some good. So this introduces you at least some way to the manga in some form. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Addendum. It worked for Banana Fish. People are reading that manga now more than they have in the last, 10 years or so?
This is true, yeah.
It did get a reprint.
Yeah, this is true. And in Banana Fish's case, we do kind of suspect that we'll get licensed by someone eventually.
It feels like, here's the thing. Let's put it like this. I actually have a list of 30 or so shows that are kind of locked under the Amazon stuff. I think out of all of them, Banana Fish is high. I think Promised Neverland probably has one of the bestest chances of somebody actively seeking to try and get it out on home video.
Yeah, again, I feel like it really kind of depends on what Aniplex's level of influence here is.
You want to talk about shows that are actually fucked. The Great Passage.
Well, I mean, Sentai did license Dive, of all shows.
I also think that was before, this show came prior to the Scum's Wish thing. So.
Remember, guys, Sentai has that what would you like us to license thing open.
This is
now.
True, like I said.
Damn things!
That is true. Damn things. Yeah.
Look, also, somehow, if Come Hell or High Water, Funimation somehow gets that shit on home video, I will fucking buy it. Here's the thing. We don't know what the future is, but here's the thing about Promised Neverland anyway. It's already a series about hope in very bleak, pessimistic situations anyway. So this is strangely fitting.
If you consider what the underlying themes of the show are, this is kind of, we are literally living out the premise right now.
Boy, art imitates life. Ain't it a bitch?
Wow, now I feel like I know even less about whatever that show is about.
Good.
I mean, manga, or however is appropriate to talk about it.
It's very good girls and very good boys, and nothing else happens.
That's what we call a no-spoiler rule.
Okay,
well, that was a good little introduction. Yep. So yeah, Promised Neverland starts in January, and we'll talk more about some other shows starting in January later on. But first, we unfortunately have to talk about a bit of sadder news. On October 17th, voice actor Koji Tsujitani unfortunately passed away due to a stroke at the age of 56. He was known for doing several roles in the Gundam franchise, such as Bernard Bernie Wiseman in War in the Pocket, Seabook Arno in F91, and he was also known as the voice of Tyler in The Irresponsible Captain Tyler, Solomon in Blood Plus, and Moroku in Inuyasha, a show very dear to my heart. And in recent years, he has served as a sound director for several shows on the Japanese side, such as for Rakugo Shinju, the 2006 Face Day Night anime, and most recently, Gurazeni Money Pitch.
That's
surprising.
Yes, he had a lot of great work. sorry about that, I'm stumbling over my words. There was a wake for him on the 21st and a funeral on the 22nd, which was attended by many relatives of his, along with his wife, voice actress Kumiko Watanabe.
Well, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
It's unfortunate, but it's the shit of a living.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on from that. What else are we talking about tonight, Alex?
Well, Hollywood has struck again.
Oh, boy.
And oh boy, have this they is struck a, again.
The fact that these both came out, like, relatively around the same time is fascinating to me.
Yeah, so, first up, oh, I should mention, we not only have one bit of Hollywood news, but we have two bits of Hollywood news to talk about. The first one coming to us from Nerdist, as they have reported, Toho Animation has apparently struck a deal with Legendary Pictures to produce a live-action film adaptation of My Hero Academia. Okay,
and before we even start, I just want to mention one thing. This was originally supposed to be announced at Jump Fest in, like, December, so I imagine the people at Toei are, like, very angry right now.
Oh, they're probably fucking furious. Like, as soon as I heard this was supposed to be a Jump Fest thing, I'm like, oh! So, oh, you know what this makes me think? This makes me think one of two things. A, this project's fucking dead. Or B, they're gonna try working on this project for a little bit longer, but this project's still fucking dead.
Now, as far as we know, a whole lot of details have not been unearthed about this. Most importantly, nobody has confirmed the involvement of Kurt Russell.
Oh, like the director at like the actual director?
I'm referencing a movie. Oh. A movie that many people compare this show to.
Oh, oh.
Oh,
okay.
You're talking about Sky High, aren't you, you motherfucker?
Yeah, I mean, My stance is kind of like this. Like, I mean, of the many, many things you could adapt, this does kind of make sense, but at the same time, it's only Shonen Jump thing, so condensing that into a movie would be very, very hard.
There's a couple of things to figure out. A, this is probably, if it comes out in, like, Hollywood, this is probably going to be the appeal to the, big market of superhero movies, which that is a smart decision in theory. The problem is, you also have to account for the fact that there's a fuck ton of superhero movies in Hollywood now, and there's probably at least a little bit of fatigue. Like, there's a lot of really good ones everybody's been telling me about, but I just fucking don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And secondly, fuck, what was my secondly point? My point is, here's what I think. I think if this movie's going to be one thing, this movie's going to cover season one. I think, in theory, you could potentially make a movie out of season one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be great for it, but I think, in a theory, it can introduce the characters, it can introduce, like, the synopsis, it can introduce the school, and it can introduce the antagonists. It seems clean cut, actually.
I know it's an obvious, like, partial joke, but I mean, seriously, Vin Diesel for All Might, just do it.
Vin Diesel and not Dwayne Johnson?
No.
Okay, Vin Diesel.
Not even him. You know who would be... who would be best to play All Might.
Who?
And his name is... John Cena.
Fuck you.
It's either going to be John Cena or The Rock. Mark my words.
I would actually be okay with The Rock.
I want, like, actual, like, newbie people as, like, the kids instead of just, like...
How the hell are they gonna do his, like, shriveled form? Or anything?
Yeah, that CG. Is a good...
How the fuck did you manage to make... fuck, what's his name? Which Chris is Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, yeah. How the fuck did they make Chris Evans into a fucking, like, 70-pound beanpole?
Okay. To be fair, that's the power of Disney and Marvel Studios, okay? They have more money than God right now.
This is true. But, like, technology finds a way.
Yeah.
You could physically make a way to make The Rock look sickly with CG. I don't mean think it'll be good, per se. I just mean it can be done. My point is, I'm laughing at all these possibilities because I still don't fucking believe this is going to exist.
Keanu Reeves in Cowboy Bebop, the movie.
Like, for God's sake, the most theoretically realistic this is going to actually be a thing happened last year, and that studio went bankrupt.
Which one is this again?
Tiger Bunny.
Only one of those studios went bankrupt. Only one of them.
The fact that a studio that existed for a year went bankrupt is like...
Wait, does it? That impresses me. Does it, like, Guaymax and Naruto have a director, technically?
I don't believe that's going to happen either.
I didn't even remember that was announced.
I feel like that might happen. I don't know if it would be good, but I feel like that one might happen.
I'm going to say something that I think a friend of mine said. I won't have an opinion until they get to pre-production. Because, as far as I'm concerned, this movie does not actually exist. Right now, this does not actually exist yet.
Well, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I hear they have started pre-production, that means something is actually happening with it. Until that happens, this is not an actual thing that is real. And this news also applies to our next story.
Yeah, before I get to that, I'll just lay out some information regarding this.
Oh yeah, we should probably say who's involved.
Yes, so like I said, Toho and Legendary are involved with this. Toho will be distributing it in Japan. Outside of Japan, we don't know yet. It'll probably be Universal because they have a deal with Legendary right now. But, you know, who knows?
Question. Were Legendary the guys that did the new Godzilla movies?
Yeah, they did that.
But that was during their time partnered with Warner Brothers, which I think
a better example would be Legendary did new Pacific Rim.
Okay, yeah. You know what? Both of those make sense for a Japanese company like Toho to be like, you know what? You guys might actually do okay with this.
Yeah, Alex Garcia and Jay Ashtonfelter will be overseeing the film on behalf of Legendary, and Ryosuke Yoritomi will be overseeing it on behalf of Shueisha. So I guess we're going to have to wait a while for more details of this film to come out, just like all the other films we've heard about in the last couple of years. Remember Your Name? How we talked about that?
Once again.
Yeah, where's that?
That movie does it.
Where's that, J.J. Abrams?
Hey, if it doesn't enter pre-production, the movie doesn't exist. I have no idea.
I've said it before and I've said it again because it will always be relevant. Black Lagoon is sitting right there.
Apparently the only place for actually existing live-action anime films is Netflix.
Which is probably why Sword Art Online actually probably has the best chance to be a
I also forgot that was even a thing that was announced.
Almost certainly going to be a real thing, and apparently it has, like, actually good people on it, so it might actually be interesting.
I'm kind of excited, but I'm still I'm still personally disappointed it's not on the CW, because that seemed like the best place for a Sword Art series.
Like the best place for it, for, like, the joke. But
well, to be fair, the CW has sort of morphed kind of away from that in favor of more superhero stuff, with the one exception being Riverdale. But even then, Riverdale is
you say that, but, like, even the superhero stuff can kind of get a little overly melodramatic. Well, except for what I've seen of Black Lightning, that was pretty grounded.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
I also heard the people who made Riverdale made something for Netflix called Sabrina. Is that true?
I have not watched New Sabrina yet. I meant to.
I don't know if I want that, so that makes me feel weird.
I mean, the trailer looked cool, so I'll probably watch that eventually.
Okay, I've heard mixed things on that, but we're getting off topic here. So let's move away from that into our second Hollywood chicanery, because from a report from Variety, oh boy, Warner Brothers has struck a deal with Kodansha to give the green light for a live action film adaptation of Attack on Fucking Titan.
So, I'm going to be real with you for a second. There's a couple of anime properties. When you brought up Black Lagoon, I was going to talk more about this. There's a couple of anime properties that seem like they actually could work in the West with literally no repercussions or problems in regards to whitewashing or anything like that, because you don't have that problem with certain things. Black Lagoon, Full Metal Alchemist, and guess what? Even Attack on Titan. As long as you don't make Mikasa white, you're good. Attack on fucking Titan actually works for a Hollywood adaptation, in theory. And,
yeah, I mean, you know what? Mean, it also helps that the plot is, like, straightforward enough that, yeah, you don't have to worry about cramming too much into a single movie.
This is true. Yeah. Like, you could theoretically make an entire movie just on, like, the origin, the training, and Trost, and that's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the people they actually might have on this
are... Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, so... going back to this report from Variety, we have a list of names that are going to be attached to the project. David Heyman and Masioka will be on board as producers, along with Barbara Muschietti, and it will be directed by her brother, Andy Muschietti. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Muschietti?
One of those two. I did not know Masioka was producing this. That actually does fill me with some more hope, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been on a good roll lately because he directed a little movie a little while ago called It.
Yeah. Wait. You're talking about Andy Muschietti, right?
Muschietti. Yeah.
So, okay, I was going to say, I thought you meant Masioka directed it. I was going to be like, I didn't know that.
No. Oh, and as an addendum, he's also going to be tackling, of all things, a film adaptation of H.G. Wells' The Time Machine.
Man.
Along with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Honestly, getting a good horror movie person, actually one of the more acclaimed horror movie remakes of the recent years, and putting them on Attack on Titan, and getting Masioka involved... This might be something. Here's the thing. The rule still applies with My Hero Academia. I don't believe this is real until it's in pre-production. That rule still applies here.
They've confirmed enough people that this seems like it has a better chance of being a real thing, but we'll see.
Look, that hasn't stopped things from dying before. Okay, there's so many that just don't happen. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to get angry or disappointed if it's just going to literally be like something that was announced 5 years ago and nothing comes of it.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, it can always be worse. It can always be the Akira movie.
It can always be the what movie?
It can always be the Akira movie.
Oh. God, have you ever looked at that leaked supposed pitch script?
Oh, God, no. Let's just be glad that, for all we know, that movie's going to be stuck in production hell for a while.
Look, if that's good riddance. Anyways, if there's anything you take away from this very in-depth discussion tonight, people... Netflix, for fuck's sake, give Del Toro his monster live-action series.
Yeah, because HBO isn't going to do it.
Yeah, do that, and, you know, maybe while you're at it, see the anime for streaming, please.
God fucking please. I think somebody's car is going off.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, it's outside my house, I have no idea who it is. Yeah.
Go out there and hit it.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
It does.
You should do it.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Okay, then. Okay, so, just to summarize, Attack on Titan live action adaptation with a lot of big names involved, coming from Warner Bros. And Kodansha sometime in the next couple of years, most likely.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
I mean, it has a better chance than some other things. Like, I mean, at this point, I don't think that Cowboy Bebop or One Piece TV series is ever going to happen.
I think the One Piece TV show is like a cool idea, but it's like, God, the TV show idea is the terrible part.
I don't mind the idea in theory, but it's just the amount of CG you would need for Luffy's arms. It's just like it wouldn't be worth it.
Also, I feel like it would be very weird to see an American take on a Japanese take of pirates, and I feel like they would probably like go the Rick Sanchez Pancreas of the Caribbean angle and make it very rapey.
Okay.
I don't know.
Look, I don't know. If it was a CW show, fucking maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, the nice thing about the One Piece manga is that it's, you know, is that the arcs are, that it's pretty arc-driven, so I mean.
It's arc-driven, but also, how the fuck do you make some of these creations work in real life? How?
Well, we know that Guillermo del Toro can make some Fishman.
Look, Fishman isn't the problem. Fishman is easy. No, I'm talking about some of the motherfucking cartoon characters that are... I'm going to show you a couple of them. Like, I'm just thinking of fucking... I'm thinking of that one fucking character from CP9.
Bon Clay.
No, I'm not even thinking Bon Clay. Oh my god, Bon Clay in live action would actually be amazing. I kind of want that now. Fuck. No, I'm talking about one of the guys from CP9 who is just this fat guy in a suit who has the voice of a woman and has just a giant zipper on his face. Like, that is a cartoon character. And there is... Goddamn, imagine Wapple. Like, Wapple done in real life. Imagine any of the fucking strange, absurd characters in One Piece just in real life.
Buggy the Clown?
Buggy's easy! You people aren't even thinking the grand scheme guy? Of things.
Okay, Buggy is easy. Crocodile is really, really easy.
I'm talking about the ones that are like 50 meters tall and are like giant baby men.
I'm trying to think... Kubo would actually be pretty hard.
The bleach guy?
Kubo? Oh, okay, y'all are saying that. I'm left wondering who would fill the right dimensions, as it were, for time skip Nami and Robin.
they'll like in true Oda fashion. They'll just do the supermodel approach and just take the pounds off.
Yeah, I thought like no, they will hire Megan Fox. I can't even joke about that.
Yes.
No.
I'm sorry.
Please.
That sounded horrible the second it came out of my mouth. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Make Robin black, you fucking cowards.
Oh. Okay. I think we've talked
about
that.
What the fuck? Okay, we should probably move on.
Yeah, let's move on with a movie that we know will be coming out. Masaki Iwasa has announced his latest film project, only titled Kimi to Nami ni Noretara, which will be heading to theaters in Japan next summer.
And also, the translation of that supposedly is Riding a Wave with You.
Yes, and it is set to be a rom-com between a young surfer woman and a male firefighter.
I also like the fact that the surfer woman is the one with the fire color scheme, and the firefighter is the one with the water color scheme. I just like that little angle.
Just like, I need to do something the complete opposite of Devilman Crybaby now.
I mean...
Okay, look. When you work on Devilman Crybaby, you need some goddamn levity, and
to be fair, you also does like a lot of different things, so I mean
look, like, he could do family comedy. He could do, like, coming-of-age character drama. And he can do Devilman, what the fuck is happening, crybaby. This man is capable of anything, and honestly, I'm excited to see what this is.
Mm-hmm. So, G-Kids, go ahead and sign the contract. We'll take it.
Well, it's either going to be G-Kids or 11 Art at this point. They are very much the two that pick up movies.
Oh, 11 Art, that company that doesn't bring movies to my towns.
Me either.
Yeah. I'm still salty about that. They do have my good graces about something else we will talk about later.
Yes, we'll get to that later. But for right now, we got something that actually came out a little bit late for our recording. So, Studio Pierrot have announced a 15-episode crime action series that's going to be hitting Netflix on December 3rd. Entitled Hero Mask. And I'm going to be a bit optimistic and say this could be good.
I just want to say one thing. I watched a trailer and it was literally like a straight minute of characters sipping tea.
Okay. Okay. The trailer of this project is so weird to me because this project does not exist until today. This is supposedly coming out worldwide in a month. It's an original cop anime by Studio Pierrot, and the trailer is nothing but, like, smash cuts of people sipping drinks, shooting guns, or talking on the cell phone, and the title, and that's it. That is all it is, and it is so weird, but you have my attention.
I mean, I know people have their obvious misgivings about Pierrot, but they can make good looking shows. So sure, project was out. I mean,
kind of dumb, but when I
Plus, I mean, the director is kind of interesting. It was one of the Hunter x Hunter people, so that should be interesting.
Is it one of the Hunter people? Interesting. I don't know if they've done, like, original things before, so that should be... it's a cop anime, but I assumed it was a superhero thing because it's called Hero Mask. Well, this one is supposedly, like, launching worldwide on Netflix. So this will come out the same day for everybody else, so we'll see what it's like in due time. Mm-hmm. Best anime of the season, still probably Castlevania season 2.
I still haven't finished. I'm still very early on in season 2. I'll probably finish it tomorrow.
I'll be real. Okay, I've yet to start season 2.
I mean, what I've seen so far has been mostly an improvement over season 1. I mean...
Because season 1 isn't really season 1, it's a pitch movie.
There's, like, more interesting character dynamics and stuff. I mean, granted, the excessive violence is still there, which is kind of annoying, but, like, yeah.
The excessive violence isn't a problem, it just feels like now this is fully realized of what it actually is trying to be, and the other one is, like, what they were trying to sell to investors. That's the way I approach it.
We might want to mention, by the way, that it has now already been greenlit for a 10-episode third season.
Yes, it has been.
That makes me happy.
It got all the right people in a good mood.
Adi Shakar, you know what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to what other video game project you're in the works on in, I think, 2 weeks. We'll find out in 2 weeks. So expect that in next episode.
There's already rumors about what it's going to be. I have my doubts it will be that series, but we'll see.
I have my doubts too, but if this is like the only time I could see this actually happening.
Okay then, let's get back on track. Anything more about this project before moving on?
It exists. Hopefully it's good.
I'm down for new looking... I mean, it looks shiny and neat. I'll check it out, and hey, it'll come with a dub, so that'll be nice. So, yeah.
I'm just going to mention this because I personally find it funny, but when I first saw the article title, I thought it was going to be one of those long name shows, and I literally thought it was going to be called Crime Action Anime Hero Mask.
No, here's the thing. I saw the title, and I immediately skipped over it because I assumed it was just some live action thing. It wasn't until, like, I saw people talking about it on Twitter, it was like, oh, this is an actual anime. Okay.
Perro doing a ritual anime is interesting. The only other one I know that's happening right now is Perro is working on an original anime with the Danganronpa, with the guys who were the Danganronpa people who are now the new studio.
I guess it kind of makes sense. I mean, Perro is kind of running out of big shonen things to do, so I guess moving into original properties makes sense now.
Running out of big things? It's running
Boruto's going to keep going for a while. Black Clover's doing okay-ish, I guess, but I don't know if there's too much on the horizon that's specifically their thing, and Tokyo Ghoul's wrapping up now, technically, so...
Wrapping up faster than the speed of sound.
Okay.
I keep hearing people who were like even, who are even giving some benefit of the doubt are just like, okay, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Okay then. So I guess that's a good place to move on. So how about that Smash Direct?
I literally just finished watching it this morning.
Oh God.
My boy Incineroar is in Smash. Yeah.
Okay, so look, the Grinch leak was proven false, but I already love Incineroar. The wrestling fans love him, the furries love him, everybody loves him.
I was not expecting Incineroar, but Incineroar is a good choice. And a particularly funny choice for 69.
Oh God. Dude, his crotch is literally flaming.
Oh yeah, it's very good.
I don't think you want a 69 with that pussy.
Go to the corner, Andrew.
I'm already in one.
Okay, well, yes, we got the announcements for the final roster reveals of Incineroar, Ken from Street Fighter, and the Piranha Plant from Super Mario.
Okay, it's worth noting
okay,
the Piranha Plant.
Okay, before we move
plant
on, I need to talk about...
We imagine to be a bonus character.
The fascinating thing, I thought the Piranha Plant was the first of 5 planned DLC characters.
It's not.
It's not. He's just extra. Sakurai's just like, fuck it. And I went from thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen, to, okay, this is kind of fun, to, okay, I actually really want to play him, to, this is my good leafy boy, I love him, and if any Waluigi stand tries to bring him harm, I will fuck
I'm
you
sorry,
up.
But the gameplay for that character looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean
he has little feet!
There's Isabella, which is still going to be interesting because I still have trouble imagining ever bringing harm to that character.
Incineroar existed so the furries can put the thirst on something else. Thank you, almighty Incineroar. You truly were the heel turn that Smash Brothers needed.
I guess on the downside, it's kind of like they sort of inadvertently confirmed that one of the 5 DLC characters is probably not Rex from Xenoblade 2.
Here's the thing. The ones that are actually deconfirmed were Shadow. Shadow's fucking done.
Shadow was an assist trophy. They specifically, like, one of the Mii fighters has a Rex costume, so he is probably not DLC.
Isaac from Golden Sun, which I know a lot of people were bummed about, especially considering he was
We gotta get back on track.
Okay.
But you know who's not gonna be in Smash? Unfortunately, sorry memers, no Goku, but fear not.
Thank God.
But fear not, for he will be making his grand debut in a couple of weeks at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I'm not gonna lie, this is cool. Like, it's not one of those things where I'm like, I'm not angry or upset about it. I'm just like, you know what? Dragon Ball is actually big enough that it would be part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and that's kind of crazy.
I will agree with a lot of people that I'm kind of surprised this is happening now instead of, like, the...
Yeah. Oh, no, it makes perfect sense why it's happening now. It's because Toei wants to advertise Broly.
Yep.
I just find it funny that I see the actual flyer for this with all these, like, Christmassy characters and then Goku up top, which makes me think, wow, the Robot Chicken sketch of Goku saving Christmas is now finally fucking canon.
Oh, God!
Oh, no! A temperature above 100 degrees Celsius! My only weakness! Yeah. Man, early Robot Chicken sketches are fucking rough to watch nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, that, you can tell they just look rough.
Still potentially some of the better ones.
They're doing a fucking Kill Bill parody of the fact that she's trying to wiggle her toe, and you just see the whole toy foot moving, and it's like, ooh, yeah. Oh, that's jank.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll be able to see that in full on Thanksgiving morning at 9 a.m. on NBC. Enjoy the cringe from the commentators.
I can't wait for somebody to say this took over 9,000 man hours. I'm waiting. I'm
you
already
think they're
expecting...
gonna have that good of commentary?
Come on, this is NBC we're talking about. They're not clever enough to do that.
Maybe they'll accidentally pronounce the name Goku.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, just think of it this way: we are a couple of years away from people at the Olympics having to mention that anime exists.
Oh God, I'm so ready.
I mean, there's those Yuri on Ice skaters.
Yeah, Johnny Weir did talk about that.
Dude, let's face it, anime's mainstream at this point. We can try and fight it. It's mainstream. Get
League
over
of
it.
League of Legends.
Okay, well, let's move on from there to, well, this came a little bit sooner than we were all hoping for, and that it's actually happening at all. But Kimono Friends 2 is set for January, and
I mean, I have.
Does
like,
anyone care?
No, here's the thing. I have no stake in this.
They sort out their controversy or whatever.
Okay. Here's my thing. I have zero stake in this horror, so I don't particularly care. But I am just looking forward to the fireworks because this is absolutely going to backlash, and it's going to be hilarious.
it's just you can tell this is going to be rough, like. Regardless, the anime might be fine, but you can tell something's... They're going to backtrack on a lot of things, or it's going to be very different from, like, what the original show actually was. It's gonna be rough. And also, can we talk... I just realized something now.
Okay.
This is coming out literally in direct competition with the new show that the former Kimono Friends people are working on.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to backlash spectacularly, man. It's going to be funny.
I can't.
That's also going to be on Amazon Prime, so that's going to be very interesting.
I cannot wait for those DVD sale numbers. I'm expecting double digits.
God, I think it's going... Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be bad as Seven Senses of the Reunion was. Did anybody see that?
I watched the first episode and I was like, this is kind of totally confused.
Like, Sword Art Online meets Anohana sold double digits.
Oof.
It sold...
Yeah, I mean, how to feel about that statement.
58. It sold 58.
Okay, yeah. You know, and I remember, like... Yeah, and there was a joke that one of Dun Top members made that honestly just kind of made the whole situation worse to me. It was something along the lines of, like, it sold 58 copies, enough for everyone on set to buy one.
Oh.
Well then, how about we lighten the mood up with some...
With something better!
With a good show that's going to be starting in January... Because we've got the preview video for Series 2 of Mob Psycho 100.
I'm going to be honest, I'm very tempted to just go to the world premiere of this. I'm very tempted.
I am also tempted.
I might join you then, because I think the fairy tale signings are only fairy tale stuff, so I may not get my P5 book signed, so I might just join you for that and then rush over to Viz.
I mean, I do,
that's gonna be an Anime NYC, right?
Gotta hit Viz, and that probably is gonna be higher priority for me, so...
Chet, you and I, like, I'm gonna be there multiple days, you're gonna be there Saturday, so we're probably going to be tagging along to a lot of similar panels that day.
Yeah.
Okay, so, see you then, buddy. okay, this trailer, though, this looks good. The show continues to look extraordinarily good. Like, and it's already intriguing with the stuff that they're pointing out about, like, what's changing and just the things they're doing. Like, there's plenty of creativity going on and then some. Like, the things I was hearing from a lot of the Sakugaboro guys is that this show was far enough along in production, this probably could have come out this season, but they decided to give it, like, another 3 months to polish it. And
good for Bones for doing that.
Good for Bones, yeah. Like, actually, like, I read a recent thing recently about, like, all the sub-studios at Bones and what they're currently working on. It's actually pretty interesting. Like, Studio A is working on Carol and Tuesday. Studio B is doing Mob Psycho. Studio C is basically just the My Hero studio at this point. Hilariously enough, Studio D is now also the Bungo Stray Dog studio, and Studio E is currently Eureka 7 High Evolution studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just a little fun fact about what projects they are currently working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll all be interesting.
Yeah. I guess it's just going to be a matter of time before we see this on Toonami, which, if any of y'all haven't noticed, Mob Psycho 100 is now on Toonami every Saturday night at 11:30, and reportedly...
Okay,
this
we're
is part of a
this.
Bigger deal between Adult Swim, you know, Turner, and Crunchyroll, both of which are smaller subsidiaries of Warner Media.
Yeah. Oh, and it is very much worth noting that okay, that I watched the first episode and the Crunchyroll logo
was the first to pop up.
Yeah.
And there's no Funimation logo,
which is really interesting. Yeah. I'm gonna say this though: the article that first reported this was fucking garbage, by the way. For a couple of reasons.
The initial publication was garbagely worded to make it sound like it was
new. Block at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
It's on Toonami.
Yeah, so basically it was spoken by someone who has not watched the block at all. So.
It also sounds like literally all they said, Ed, was like, in theory, this is a thing, this is going to lead to future stuff, like stuff from Crunchyroll getting on Toonami. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. The way they word it is like, big news-shattering deal, as in the Fairy Foundation has changed, and the game has changed, and the way you're wording this is so bad.
And unfortunately, that same article got picked up by sources such as Polygon and IGN, which just sort of ran with it.
It's like, yes, Mob Psycho's on Toonami. Yes. Crunchyroll is now working with Toonami to get some of their stuff on Toonami. Here's the thing that people are jumping to conclusions, though. No! This does not mean Funimation stuff is coming off of Toonami. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you people idiots?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things I'm very curious about. Mostly in seeing what the next couple of Toonami shows are. Mostly because I'm trying to think of what is currently in Crunchyroll's lineup that could be put on Toonami that is, like, actually a Crunchyroll license.
Bungo Stray Dogs.
Okay, yeah, there's Bungo Stray Dogs. That's kind of
hey, guys.
One, but...
Hey, guys.
3-0.
Big order.
Shut up about that!
Shut the fuck up. Actually, the first two that come to mind are Bungo Stray Dogs and Twin Star Exorcist.
I feel like Twin Star is probably not going to happen.
I mean, look, you need something to kill a slot for a whole year. That's a pretty good way to do it.
I mean, that's a pretty good way to do it, but I don't know if they really need to kill a slot for a whole year. There's some upcoming...
In fact, most people would argue
look,
to not
you,
do
you
want
to get exposure for a year to something that people probably would enjoy on Toonami, but just kind of didn't get that much exposure? That's a good way to do it. Anyways,
yeah.
Bungo Stray Dogs. That's one I really
want.
Yeah,
Bungo Stray Dogs is the one I want. Twin Star, I mean... I would have been okay with it, but, like, what I've seen of the dub did not impress me that much, so I would kind of be okay if we didn't get that.
Here's the one that I think's not gonna happen because of fuckery, but I would love to see happen. Kabaneri.
Yeah, Kabaneri's not happening.
I know it's not happening, that's why... But, God, that would be... God, literally, two, three companies had that license. None of them could do anything. Fuck you, Amazon. Anyways, so fucking... What were we talking about? Anyways, there might be some more Crunchyroll licenses in the future. Though it's going to be interesting to see what does potentially get added. I'm going to very much laugh if Rising of the Shield Hero gets added.
The thing about this is it's still making me wonder what the specifics of Megalobox is license entails. So,
Viz Media has it.
I mean, Viz has it, but I'm like, I don't know. There's part of me that's still wondering if it were like maybe they got it some license from ZR, so they gotta know.
I mean, how the fuck did they get Osumatsu-san? They just got the license. And it was also streaming on Crunchyroll. I think it's, like I said, there's probably some things that Crunchyroll does have. It's hard to tell because there's a lot of shows that, like, were shared among Funimation and Crunchyroll, and we're still kind of figuring that out. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, this is just, like, weird rambling, so, yeah.
Okay.
We'll see what it means in the future. But either way, Mob Psycho Season 1's on Toonami. Hopefully we get Season 2 soon after.
Yeah. Okay then. All right. Well, from there, we've got a little bit of catching up to do because now we have to talk about some home video slates, of which, well, we have 2 out of 3. Sentai's been a little busy lately, so we haven't gotten their upcoming February releases yet, so we'll just save that for another time. For right now, though, let's talk about what Funimation has to offer in January. It's kind of a mix of not a lot and some big stuff. So, starting on January 8th, we have Part 6 of Dragon Ball Super.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
An Essentials re-release of Can Cole Kantai Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And Part 4 of Twin Star Exorcists.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's favorite.
Yeah. On January 15th, we have Season 2 of Overlord in the regular combo pack and in a gigantic limited edition set.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Is it just a Bone Daddy head?
It's a nice it's a nice box with the really sexy light novel art.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
I thought you were going to talk about that one character for a second.
Seriously, like, the light novel... I know what you're talking about. I don't think I know what you're talking about. I'm just talking about the fact that I really wish the anime looked a lot more like the light novel art because the art looks so metal.
You mean you don't wish that the anime looked a lot more like that CG towards the end of the
game? I have that GIF playing in the back of my mind every time I think of that one comment.
Okay.
I really wish My Hero would have gone to Madhouse.
Okay, yeah, we talked about that already, but...
I know we have, but it never fails to trigger me.
Okay, then. And we also have... Season 1, Part 3 of Black Clover with, if you get up on Funimation.com, a giant-ass housing box for all 5 parts.
I still find it fascinating that they waited for the 3rd part to be the one to come with the limited edition and not the first one. But hey, you can put all 5 in this box, which is neat.
Yeah.
However season 2 onward is going to work, fuck if I know.
What if it gets more parts than that box houses.
The box could only is planned to house the first season, which is like 50-51 episodes. Yeah. That's a done deal. Whatever they do in the future, they'll figure out on their own time.
Yeah. All right. On January 22nd, we have the previously announced live-action Death Note movies, the first two, sub only because of shenanigans.
Of course.
Yeah, I so don't get why those are sub only. That seems incredibly weird to me.
Legal shit.
Yeah. Along with Death Note, Light Up the New World, also sub only.
So weird.
Yeah. So are we going to talk about the One Essential?
Yes. We have, in the Essentials line, truly the Clayton Kershaw of Funimation. Overpriced and overhyped, Dimension W.
I'm going to say something quickly for a second. I kind of am do hope that with Funimation going on their own path after the Funny Roll deal has completed itself, I hope we start seeing more of them getting into, like, producing shows.
I doubt that, because remember, they put a lot of money into this, and it didn't really pan out the way they hoped. I mean, they gave it merchandise, they gave it a fancy box set, they gave it a prime slot on Toonami weeks after its airing in Japan, and what did it amount to? Fucking nothing.
It feels like I like the theory of them getting to produce more things themselves, too. I just... It's not a great first impression. I think they deserve at least one that does better.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they deserve at least one that does better, but it's also, like, it's also not entirely up to them, because I don't know because I'm pretty sure Japan's probably not happy with how it did either, so...
Look, I'm just gonna say there's a lot of Crunchyroll co-pro stinkers out there, and then there's a couple of Golden Goose in those batches, too. Just saying. Like, for every a place further than the universe, there's at least three more Master of Ragnaroks.
Yeah.
Hey now, you leave my popcorn isekai alone.
All right.
And now I'm pouring one out, just knowing that a physical release from a place further than the universe has gotten even more complicated now. So.
I know. Sentai, for the love of God, if you pick up that and My Comfy Camp Girls, I will just forever give you money. No questions asked. What so fucking ever?
Why do I feel like you'd be okay if they released it under the title My Comfy Camp Girls?
Well, moving on from there, also on the 22nd, we have, also in the Essentials line, Pandora in the Crimson Shell Ghost Urn. Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, I literally know nothing about it other than by it. It's by the artist of Ghost in the Shell, which is just kind of hilarious to me.
I've heard things about it, but I hear it's a very weird show.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird shows, here's the next one.
Yes, we also have Citrus.
Citrus. So I'm going to be real with you for a second. I don't hate Citrus. I think there's a lot of problems with it, but there's actually a lot of things it does do well and pretty and better than I was expecting. I'll give it that. That final arc is still garbage, though, and nobody's going to convince me otherwise. Like,
if you mean the fact that pink-haired chick didn't need to exist, then I agree with you.
I'm not even talking about the pink-haired one.
The pink-haired chick was where I immediately signed out.
No, the one I was actually, like, turned off by... Boy, that is not the right word to use for the show.
Oh, that was just a bad choice of words, wasn't it?
I ran into that.
Back into
one.
The corner you go.
No, I hated the one where it's like, it actually seemed like the relationship kind of resolved itself, and then it suddenly didn't resolve itself, and now we have twin characters who are getting in the way, and the conflict became just fucking talk already. For are you?
I think I blocked that out due to how dumb it was.
My point exactly. That last arc, like, the show had problems up until then, but there were good things I enjoyed about that. That last part was just like, okay, now you're actually full of shit.
TLDR, just watch Bloom Into You.
Okay, look, I'm fucking excited for Bloom
Into
You.
That was not a point to jump off.
Right, right. But yes, go watch Bloom Into You.
Okay. And rounding this out for this week, we have... forgive me if I'm saying this wrong. I'm just saying it how it's spelled out. One Piece 3D2Y.
That is the correct way to say it, just because...
Yeah, that is the correct way to say it, and it is very good. I haven't watched, like, too much One Piece anime stuff in a while because, you know, Toei. But I did watch that special, and it was, like, it looked very pretty. The story was actually pretty decent, so, yeah, it's fun. Go watch
it. I actually just thought it was, like, a recap thing, but no, it's a separate special, which actually has me intrigued. Also, for anybody worried that the One Piece dub was dead in the water, this is a dubbed special. Like, this is new content, and this is dubbed. So...
who would be thinking that anyway?
A lot more people than you'd fucking think, Alex.
Ugh. Fairy Tail will never be dubbed again.
I'm just gonna tell you, I'm a moderator for, like, Funimation forums and Discord. I see some fucking crazies, my friend.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think it's just, like... I think it's just because One Piece has been held up for, like, a bunch of crazy shit that's happened with One Piece, so it's gotten held up, and I guess people are getting concerned.
Well, I think the special kind of alleviates some of that, or at least says, yeah, the dub's still happening. That's what I'm getting from it. I'm almost caught up with the dub myself, so I'll probably look into picking this up.
Okay. And, rounding it out, on January 29th, we have... The Ancient Magus Bride, part one of The Ancient Magus Bride anyway, in the usual combo pack, and also in a giant-ass limited edition set.
That's a really nice-looking set, by the way.
It is a really, really, really nice set, but I'm, like, so compromised for January already, and I'm kind of angry.
It's like, look, I think that set's going to exist for a few months more, but goddammit, that's a very tempting set in an already very tempting month. Like... fucking Ancient Magus Bride, Girl's Last Tour, Land of the Lustrous, same fucking week.
And now, Andy, you remember how we've told you don't have to buy these things on the release?
I know, but shut the fuck up.
You know what else comes out that very same week?
What?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Fuck you. Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious right now. It comes out the last week of January.
and another thing that comes out that month, the second half of Star Wars Crusaders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we should probably mention the Essentials releases for Gangsta, the complete series, because... by the way, support the official release, you fucking assholes.
Give Kosuke your money, she deserves it.
And Divine Gate, which... anyways, moving on.
Oh, that's cruel. But yeah, seriously, go support Kosuke, give her your money.
At least buy the manga or something. That'll keep continuing.
Yes, buy the manga and buy the side stories. It's very good. It's a very good manga series. All right. Moving on from there, we have Discotheque's December 18th slate, which thanks for leaking that, Amazon.
I don't remember what's coming out, so what is happening with
Not
that?
A whole lot. DVD releases of Lupin the Third, Legend of the Gold of Babylon, and Hells.
Oh, wait, I thought those were in, like, late November.
That's coming out on Blu-ray. This is just for DVD.
Right, okay. That
and we
sense.
Have a trio of SD Blu-ray releases here. Godmars.
Neat.
Elemental Gilead.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
And a surprising one at that, from the ADV catalog, Blue Seed. From what I've heard, the Japanese SD Blu-ray might not look super good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat. And while it's not related, it is also worth noting that Cyborg 009 releases almost finished in terms of offerings, so that's cool.
I think Justin Savarkis turned it in, and he's like, yeah, this is a year's worth of stuff on one disc.
Crossing our fingers for January.
Like, I mean, like, please support that release. Like, so much effort went into that.
Yes, yes.
I don't think January. I'm thinking at the very least, like, February or March.
Yeah, there's too much up in January. Please don't.
Fuck you, it's January. Well, as we mentioned, we don't have anything from Sentai. They're running a little behind with their next solicitations. But we can tell you that they have heard the fan feedback and have canceled their planned SD Blu-ray release of Space Runaway Ideon and are going to be working on a proper high-definition release to be announced.
Cool. Wow, canceling a release?
To make it better.
To make
what a concept.
That fans want on there?
What a concept. And speaking of, we're in the midst of the Great Migration because the promotional blitz is on for High Dive's debut on Verve, which the shows are starting to show up on Verve.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I know. It's like, okay, I know Made in Abyss is on there already.
It's like Made in Abyss, some of their simulcasts.
I think there's like a list where, I forgot there was a list, but
let me pull it up here on my Verve app, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and see what they got. High Dive, here we go. Let's take a look here. We've got Bloom Into You, we've got Gakuten Basara Samurai High School, Girl and Twilight, yeah, so pretty much their fall simulcasts.
They've got all of their current stuff.
Yeah, and dubs for Akame Ga Kill, Elf and Lead, Flip Flappers, Food Wars, Gate, High School of the Dead, Danmachi, Monster Musume, No Game, No Life, Made in Abyss, and Princess Principal. And they also got the subtitled versions of Big O, as well as, I would assume, a whole couple of good stuff more.
This very much feels like a beta test version of, like, the ideal current big stuff and legacy stuff.
Yeah.
Which works.
We got Mitsuboshi Colors on here, subtitled. We've got Repu Starlight here, subtitled. Takunomi.
And one of the Galactic Heroes there.
Not yet.
Okay, yeah. Let's be fair. That one's a big hulking thing that's going to take a bit.
Yeah, this is just the start of the Great Migration. It's going to take a while for everything to get on here. But maybe by, let's say, the 13th, we should get a lot more shows. And on that day, hey, look at that. You got some more media consolidation in my Verve, because Cartoon Network's Boomerang service will be heading onto Verve on that day. Just figured I mentioned that as well.
Yeah, like, wow. Like, that was just, like, a big wow for me.
See, here's the thing. I actually checked on what Boomerang... This is basically, do you like Tom and Jerry and Scooby-Doo? You're in fucking heaven. Everybody else, you get some stuff, too. My big takeaway is Courage the Cowardly Dog, which, that's a good
one. Yeah, I mean, like, aren't there some, like, classic CN cartoons on there?
Well, they've got Looney Tunes on there, a selection of those, which I'm all about, but they don't have Ed, Edd n Eddy, therefore it's dead to me.
I don't remember I did have Ed, Edd n Eddy.
They don't. No. There's a number of stuff. Okay, here's the thing. There's a difference between the channel and the actual streaming service. Streaming service still kind of is lacking a lot of modern-day stuff. Though they do have stuff like Camp Lazlo and My Gym Partner's a Monkey.
Okay. Don't they have, like...
There are things there, and this has the potential to go bigger and beyond. Right now, it's still just...
I just feel like we're underplaying the back catalog of Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah,
you're right, we are.
There's a lot of good stuff on there, but there could be more.
There's a lot of good... Here's the thing. The backlog of Hanna-Barbera is impressive, worthwhile, and worth renowned. There is no underselling the likes of Looney Tunes, Scooby-Doo, and Tom and Jerry that is available and viewable on that server. The problem is, I'm a selfish 90s kid, and I want my 90s shit that I actually give a shit about. I don't care about Nick Splash. Give me my 90s!
Give me the Ed Boys!
Give me the end.
Give it to me somewhere, please.
Give me Dexter's Lab. Give me that shit.
Like, they had it on the Boomerang channel for like maybe 2 weeks before pulling it off for some
the
stupid
thing
reason.
Is, I'm not gonna say that's never gonna happen. I'm just saying that's the next logical future step. Once you get those, I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, please rescue the Ed Boys. Seriously, they turn 20 next year. Give them a break.
Well, they turn 20 at the end of this year.
Are you saying the Ed Boys are legal to fuck?
Okay, we're gonna move on from there. And
Andy, that corner, start chipping away at the wall.
Look,
please.
there are very few things in this world. I've made a peace with a lot of things on the internet. There's a lot of things I accept. The thing that I cannot physically comprehend is that Ed and Eddie Rule 34 exists. It physically is not a concept my brain can handle. It's not something I can physically handle.
It's a canker sore on your internet experience.
Turn around and look
okay,
at the corner.
Now you're turning around, duelist. You think about what you've done with that.
Okay, let's bring this train back on track, and let's talk about one more thing from Sentai, in that David Wald gave a pretty interesting announcement. They're going to be working on a dub and a new home video release for Love Stage, which is pretty much about as hardcore, softcore, a romantic yaoi show could possibly be. And I'll say that this is an interesting show in a lot of aspects, but it does sort of veer into the Otokonoko territory in parts.
Okay, you're going to have to explain to me what the fuck Otokonoko is.
I had to Google this because...
apparently, in a very short amount of words, I will just say it involves feminine-looking young men in cross-dressing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, if you haven't checked out Love Stage, do so in private, because it goes places that can be considered not safe for work. But I will say, at its heart, it's a very sweet, charming show that actually does have some, I will say, good representation, and considering David Wald is working on this.
Yeah, I mean,
good on you,
honestly,
sir. You're
at this point,
proud.
I gotta say, I really appreciate that David Wald is just now the go-to guy for that stuff, and I kind of appreciate that.
He's not the go-to guy, he's the go-to gay.
Yeah, like they have.
I joke, but literally,
face down in the corner, Andrew.
They have literally just designated him for that role.
No, like, I don't think this is like a role that was designated. I think this is a role he took willingly. Like, it sounds like this is something he's kind of been trying to push for years. And, like, the fact that, like, he told Ichime, My Hero, Bloom Into You, and now this are all, like, happening, that's kind of amazing and really worth commending him for.
Yeah.
Thank you, David Wald. Like, you're doing good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, like, I mean, I haven't seen episode 2 yet, but episode 1 of the Bloom Into You dub was obviously, like, real good, so...
It's
like,
really good. Yeah. I was very impressed. He's also working on that and the dub of Tana Never Falls In Love at the same time, so the man is doing good work. He is the
That dub is gold for Nyanko Big alone.
David Wald is, like, the true ally for us all. Let's mm-hmm. put that out there.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm also thinking, what other, like, gay stuff in Sentai's backlog is actually like sub only. I found one. You want to know what I found?
What would that be?
Sakura Trick.
Oh boy.
Do you remember what Sakura Trick is?
I remember calling it Sakura Kiss for a long time.
Oh boy, there's a lot of kissing in it. It's. I actually kind of like that show, but it is very like, oh boy, there is a lot of girls kissing in this. There's also, like, the single greatest gif in the world that is just... it is just in my thing called Yuri Physics. You know exactly which one it is. I'm going to send it to you all, and you will know exactly what... Actually, can I send it into Skype? Oh, fucking Skype. Oh, wait, no, I can't add it. Skype is just terrible. Hang on. I got it.
You know, for what it's worth, I have the delisted High Dive app on my phone, and it still works, and it's still being updated. So, If that counts for anything.
That's the GIF. That's the show. I want that dubbed just so I can explain to people what the fuck that scene is. I love that GIF so much.
Oh boy. Okay.
Anyways, thank you, David Wall. You are doing very good work. I'm expecting Love Stage is probably going to drop either in February or March.
That's my guess. Just the fact that they announced
this, I assume that meant it was going to be part of the next lineup, but that's still TBD.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't really find anything. And really, Sentai, you're going to consider Crossand an LGBT show because of that one lesbian threesome scene?
Their LGBT section is improving, but it's not perfect. Let's be real.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on from there. Instead,
what's that, Alex? You want me to go check out Crossands?
Well, if you want to see blood puke, sure.
I mean, only all the time.
Okay. Great song title. Okay. Let's move on from there, and let's talk about something from 11 Arts and Shout Factory, because they have unveiled some home video plans for, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, Makuya. Okay, I said it right. Yes, Makuya, When the Promised Flower Blooms, will be coming out on home video on February 5th in a regular combo pack, as well as a deluxe edition, which will have a lot of good stuff.
Gentlemen, will you excuse me for one moment? This is not to say I am stopping the call or I'm taking a break. What I am going to do is I am grabbing this. That sound right there. 11 Arts. I've been saving this up for a silent voice. And I'll say this. I will splurge into this for that Makuya Deluxe set. You fucks. That looks really good.
And worth noting, this set will actually be available exclusively through Right Stuff, which makes me think we have some kind of revised extension of the 11 Arts Right Stuff deal.
Here's what it is. Here's what I believe they've confirmed it is. Shout Factory is doing the standard edition releases. Right Stuff is going to the Deluxe Anime's Collector's Versions. And all I'm going to say is I am very happy with this polyamorous relationship.
That sounds like a good relationship.
It's a good relationship with a lot of benefits for all parties involved.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Makui is really good. I'm not even going to be that guy and be like, what's a silent voice? Because that's the next logical step. It's gonna happen now. It's like, literally, it's so close to becoming reality now. I just need to wait. I just need a release date. I think it's gonna be this year.
You mean next year?
All right. Yes, next year.
We only got 2 months left.
God, if they're going by like a fucking truck.
But I'm sure Duels and I won't mind double dipping if that ever happens.
I will blind buy Makuya, by the way, just because I'm still bummed at like how fucking bullshit that release was, where it's like, I'm gonna wait for the dub. The closest screening to me was 2 hours away.
If it makes you feel any better, the dub of Silent Voice didn't play anywhere near me either.
It did play in the city, but goddammit, I literally had no available way to get into the city that day. It sucked.
Wasn't it playing around, like, noon or something,
and, like, my college's, like, weekend buses don't even leave till the city till, like, 12:50.
And for me, I can't justify going to the movie just to going to the city just to watch a movie, so...
I could, but it's regardless.
A year ago, I would have told you I could, but MoviePass. I don't even make me start that conversation.
Are they still around?
Yes, but very. You, as a subscriber, now get 3 movies a month, and I believe you are technically supposed to only use them on certain movies on certain days.
Okay.
And if you wait until, like, the evening to go to a theater, it's very likely you will show up and your app will list that there are no screenings available.
You know, AMC A-List may not offer the Fathom Event stuff, but I will take that over MoviePass any day, because at least it's a lot more flexible.
That's certainly more of a reliable thing at this point.
It sounds like you're gambling with MoviePass now.
You very much are. I haven't canceled it mostly because, one, it seems like a pain in the ass, and two, I mean, if I can still manage to see, like, the three movies in a month, for $10, it's still technically a deal. MoviePass
sounds like they're really trying to hold on to something that just is on its final legs. You can tell the relationship's crumbling, but they're doing everything to not admit it.
Hey, I definitely got my money's worth of films, so
you got your money out of the experience, but are you getting the emotional connection and commitment anymore? Do you feel fulfilled anymore? Do you feel like you are proud to say, I use MoviePass instead of, oh, I kind of have MoviePass still?
I mean, no, but the fact that I've been in a rehab place for like 5 months doesn't help.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, I guess we're just going to round this off with a bit of filler because we didn't have a whole lot to talk about the past couple of weeks.
Are we going
to
have a driving episode?
Look, at this point, our main story was the Hollywood story.
Yeah. So, Viz is looking to venture into other platforms when it comes to airing their programs, mostly JoJo, Golden Wind. And it looks like Viz is seeing all the stuff happening on Twitch, and they decided, you know what? We gotta get that bread, because JoJo Fridays is going to be a thing on Viz's Twitch channel with new episodes of Golden Wind every single week.
I'm gonna be real with you. If Twitch becomes the place you can start putting videos of anime content and not have to get literally, like, fucked without any lube by any Japanese company, then holy shit, Twitch is gonna have a huge weeaboo market and it's gonna fucking make bank!
What makes Twitch... Oh my god.
What makes Twitch
good? What makes them...
is that they are not YouTube, and that there is actually, like, they are actually doing things with its company.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Amazon buying out Twitch kind of doesn't really rub people the right way, but I will say this, Twitch is a lot more flexible when it comes to pretty much everything YouTube does.
If that means, like, creators can get something instead of being hit, like, we put up fucking episodes of Dub Talk at this point, it goes up for 5 minutes and it's already demonetized or somebody's taking revenue from us. It's fucked.
That doesn't stop YouTube from trying to do that whole premieres thing, which I see that dying out in a matter of weeks. You're not Twitch, YouTube. You're never gonna be Twitch. YouTube gaming died. This is gonna die too.
Anyways, the fact that, like, anime is potentially looking to stream on Twitch is already a very interesting sign.
Well, there have been, you know, other events like the Pokemon Marathon, the JoJo Marathon, the Crunchyroll Takeover, and that one time they streamed Welcome to the Ballroom on the Twitch Presents channel.
Like, I think the fact that they've gotten away with that in official form, I'm just hoping this means, like, people can do this content for real. I want Twitch to truly grow and blossom into the competition that fucks YouTube over so hard now.
It's getting there.
It's getting close. I see it on the horizon. Please. Please.
Yeah. All right. And since we've been talking about Twitch, let's just end the show with some video game talk, because we have the full list for the PlayStation Classic, and, well, it's a list, all right. Not a very good one.
So, what do we have?
Let's run this down. We have... we have Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2,
mm-hmm.
Destruction Derby,
mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 7.
Sounds about okay. Right.
The first Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
Intelligent Cube.
Okay.
Jumping Flash.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Mr. Driller.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey.
All right.
Rayman.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
Resident Evil, Director's Cut.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Revelations, Persona.
The first okay. Persona is yeah. very interesting.
Ridge Racer, Type 4.
Okay.
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo.
That yawn that just happened is kind of very indicative of this, isn't it?
Siphon Filter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. Good to see 99 Studios get some love. Tekken 3.
Cool. Okay.
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
Cool.
Okay.
Twisted Metal.
Sounds about right.
Not Twisted Metal 2, the really good one. And Wild Arms.
Yeah, Wild Arms is cool. This is very much a...
Yeah, I mean, half the things on that list sounded interesting, half were just kind of, like, Trego.
It feels like a lot of the ones that people really would associate with PlayStation are legally just not up on the table anymore.
Yeah, like, well, but yeah, basically those being Spyro and Crash.
Spyro and Crash are the big
there's a lot
ones,
of
yeah.
license fuckery going on here. But...
it's a fun time waster, I guess, though.
Yeah.
You're $100?
But
know.
I want to point something out. That's the game list for the system for the US and UK markets. In Japan, there's a bit of a different list. See, our exclusives are Grand Theft Auto, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, Twisted Metal, Oddworld, Rayman, Siphon Filter, and Rainbow Six. In Japan, they're getting these. Ark the Lad, Ark the Lad 2, Saga Frontier, G. Darius, Gradius Gaiden, Armored Core, and Psy, a.k.a. Devil Dice.
Question, is Revelations Persona the one where they really localized all the characters and the names? I think it is. I kind of want to try it just so I can know what the origin of the Persona series is. I know Persona 2 is the one people like a little more, but I'm very curious to see if the original Persona is like actually a good game or if it's just not. It's a list, and there's not much to talk about.
I will say this doesn't really feel like the be-all, end-all greatest hits compilation that this should have been.
This is very much the, this is what we got, please understand. Enjoy your hotel room.
I don't get how the hell Parappa the Rapper is not on.
Right?
Yeah, really? That's fucked.
And no Gran Turismo either.
Okay, well, that one's obvious.
Still.
I mean, I could understand stuff like, say, Crash and Spyro and maybe like Gex, although I don't know if that's specifically more well.
You know what it needed? It needed Bubsy 3D is what it needed. No, but seriously,
you're getting a new Bubsy game in 2019.
Oh god. Okay,
and that's
okay.
Going to satisfy all 4 Bubsy fans?
Okay, but seriously, when this was announced, I sort of wrote out my own little wish list of games that I was hoping to see on this thing, and, well, I got 4 right. Metal Gear Solid, Oddworld, Titan Filter, and Cool Borders. Here's what I got wrong. The original Crash Bandicoots, the original Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, which was kind of wishful thinking since, you know, Activision doesn't have a license anymore.
Tomb Raider seems like it should definitely be on.
Yeah, but, you know. Resident Evil 2, which I guess they didn't put on there because they're making the remake coming out in January, which also comes out the same week as Kingdom Hearts 3.
It, basically, it's like literally everything is coming out in January.
Yeah.
Like you might as well just take your paycheck.
Andy, at least.
Yeah, I also had on here Spyro the Dragon, which, come on, really? And Dragon Quest VII. I guess that was just too much. Hot Shots Golf, which, really? Come on, man. I need my golf fun. Twisted Metal 2, I was hoping they'd put in there, because that's... Well, there's a reason why people like the sequel more than the first one. No Xenogears, no Chrono Trigger, no Final Fantasy VIII and or IX, and no Parappa the Rappa. But at least we got Intelligent Cube.
Okay, I mean, I don't know if Final Fantasy VIII was going to happen when even Square Enix would acknowledge that game exists.
Yeah.
Anyways, to round up this week of video game news, Piranha Plant is my child, and he is a very good boy, and I see one of you fucks literally dissing on Sakurai anymore, or dissing on him, I will come to your house, and I will tell you that your waifu is shit.
Yeah. Leave him alone over those...
At this point, all I can say is give Sakurai a break, and I can't believe
there is a whole section in that fucking direct where he just quiet breathes and it's like, I don't think I'm ever gonna get a break. It's like partially played for comedy, but it's just like. I also just love the fact that everybody's thinking, oh, everybody fucking died because Sakurai is, like, so bad at Smash fans. Literally, he has gone above and beyond. By the end of this, there are 74 playable characters, 75 with Piranha Plant, and by the time the DLC is done, there will be 80 characters.
Plus we got the spirit, so, like, literally, if I ever see anyone calling it important again, I will actually slap them.
I'm gonna say, I think they should have introduced spirits with World of Light, but goddamn World of Life is really cool.
So that was my 2 cents from that. Sakurai needs to get a break, and I can't believe Smash Bros. Is actually just a Kirby game all along.
It's a Kirby game all along. It's made even better, because apparently, like, the singer of the Japanese version of the song did the first Kirby anime's opening, and apparently, like, there's actually a pun of, like, what World of Life translates to, is that it could be read as, like, Hoshi no Kirby.
Yes. Give Sakurai a break, and give him your money. He deserves it.
Look, I'm fully convinced that... that this is Sakurai's last game of Smash Brothers. It has to be.
Speaking of last games, it's not really at all relevant to what we're discussing, but, okay, I know Duty T. Bastard has said, like, Pokemon Let's Go is going to be the last Pokemon game he ever directs, so, yeah.
Well, on that kind of depressing note, I think that's a good place to wrap things up. So, any final words before we head out of here and before y'all head off to Anime NYC in a couple weeks?
Honestly, there's a lot of weird shit with anime. There's a lot of legal bullshit. But honestly, there's still a lot of good shit coming out of it. Not everything's perfect, not everything's great, but there's still a lot of worthwhile stuff. The future's uncertain, but goddammit, there's still a lot of good shit coming out that's still worth it.
Burn Amazon?
Well, okay, Burn Amazon is very, very ideal, even though I know it won't happen. I just want somebody to just videotape Jeff Bezos getting kicked in the nuts. Like, I don't want... If Amazon won't burn, just... give me somebody just literally kicking Bezos in the nuts. I'll take that. I'll take that and call it a Monday.
Okay.
I, because I got nothing better to do now. Fix it in editing. We'll just throw out the bit of Toonami news that we were given recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
If you're a fan of amusing shows, Pop Team Epic slides back into the lineup at 2:30 a.m. starting on the 10th.
There's a Titan Marathon the week of the 17th when I'm in the city. So that means, oh, I can actually do stuff that night. Maybe I'll go to some sort of party or something. I don't know. There's shit always happening in the city.
And it's incredibly amusing that Toonami is now long enough that it is bookended with an episode of Kai and Samurai Jack.
Literally, they are airing the entirety of Attack on Titan Season 3, and even that's still not long enough for the full block at this point.
Yeah. Now we gotta see what they're gonna do for Thanksgiving, which,
I think Thanksgiving's also going to be a marathon, too. I think they're killing time before they can put Megalobox on the block.
Yeah, seems pretty smart.
I'm guessing it'll probably be JoJo's marathon, most likely.
Maybe?
I mean, there should be enough.
I was also contemplating how many episodes of, like, season 2 of My Hero have aired at this point.
I don't think there has been enough, I think.
I think by this point, by the time we reach that point, we will be more than halfway.
Yeah,
I think
we're up to 13 episodes of season 2 so
far. Of this week, yes.
Okay.
We'll get to the new opening in, like, 2 weeks.
Okay, maybe that then.
And they could probably do the whole sports festival arc. But I suppose we'll see in due time. So, I guess that's a good place to wrap things up. Thank you all for listening to this installment of Podcast ONA. We hope to come back next time where those two knuckleheads are going to talk about their adventures in New York while we're just going to, you know, sit by and listen because we're sort of stuck in our own lives. But, you know, it is what it is. So, thank you for listening. We hope to come back next time. And until then, seriously, does your tobacco taste different lately? Let us know.
Piranha Plant's a good boy. Don't bully, please. Bye.